Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey-o, it's Pat Boyle, and today on the Best of the DA Show, the Pac-12 gets one step closer to extinction. Plus, your best audio of the day and sound check, including marriage advice from Mia Khalifa. And Shep sings the national anthem. You don't want to miss that, I promise. Plus, a professional butt-smacking league. Yep, it exists. We're talking about it. Pete versus, that's coming back. Stun to a News with Emmanuel Barbari. A very morbid Stun to a News. A Target Demo Friday, an epic fail. I mean, where else would you rather be on a Friday? It's the Best of the DA Show. It was a wild one today. It's now.
We begin with the final days of the Pac-12. That historic conference, legendary programs, beautiful campuses. They're still going to exist, but probably just not inside the Pac-12. The conference, seeing that white light of expansion, it is where we begin. It's your cold open.
You know, to think, even remotely, 5 years ago, the Pac-12 would be in this position, it's unthinkable to think that we're here today. And to think that local rivalries are at risk and fans driving 4 hours to watch their team play in a road game and rivalries is at risk, to me, is unbelievable.
We thought that was really important. Playing in three time zones gives us a lot of exposure around the country. That's not only good for our student athletes in our athletic department, but for our university and community.
The old question would, how long would it take TV money to destroy college football? Maybe we're here. You know, maybe we're here.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
I don't know about TV money destroying college football. College football is still going to exist, but TV money certainly seems poised to ruin and kill the Pac-12. That last voice, the first voice you heard there in the cold open, is Washington State football coach Jake Dickert. In between was Colorado AD Rick George, who, of course, is ushering his Buffaloes from the Pac-12 back into the Big 12 after this season. So where are we this morning on the expansion front and why the Pac-12 is teetering on the brink of extinction? Because Arizona is now said to be in the final stages of moving to the Big 12. The school detailed the move to the Arizona Board of Regents last night, and they're really the last roadblock to this happening. If the Board of Regents, for whatever reason, doesn't want this to go down, they can stop it, force changes, whatever, but they're the last people that need to sign off of this, because apparently Big 12 commissioners already voted on inviting Arizona to the Big 12 last night. When Arizona leaves, if Arizona leaves, following Colorado's now already official departure after the season, that would leave the Pac-12 with 8 schools. Two of which are Arizona State and Utah, who could very well follow Arizona to that Big 12. Their moves on a little slower track than the Wildcats. I didn't realize this until this story last night, which began with Pete Thamel. I thought they were a package deal, those three, because none of them on their own wanted to leave the Pac-12 and maybe throw the knockout punch to the conference. So they were going to work in conjunction, but the Pete Thamel story last night and this morning says Arizona was always on a quicker timeline in sync with Colorado, with Arizona State and Utah coming up behind. So we don't have official clarification on their futures yet, but they are at least in line, kind of on the tarmac, so to speak, waiting to take off from the Pac-12 to the Big 12. That's on top of Big Ten Commissioner Tony Pertitti yesterday getting permission from the schools in that league to go vet Oregon and Washington about coming from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten. So we are on the verge of literally nobody being left of significance, with all due respect to Stanford and Cal and Washington State. Unfortunately for Cal and Stanford, not that surprisingly for Washington State, Oregon State, there's a little less demand for their athletic programs. But there's nobody left in a league that has produced magical teams, magical players, magical moments in this sport. Again, beautiful, beautiful places that need to be filled with West Coast football fans cheering on West Coast rivalries. I said this last week. I don't have a direct dog in this fight. I have born and raised, lived my entire life here on the East Coast. I've got no direct connections to any of these schools, any of these fan bases, but I don't like this one bit. I don't like the idea that college football, college athletics is going to exist relatively soon without a powerful Pac-12. Maybe without a Pac-12. Even when this was all just really beginning and we were focused kind of on the idea of maybe four 16-team conferences, always in my mind, one of them would be the Pac-12, encompassing all the West Coast Pacific time zone schools. But now this is about the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and some version of the ACC. But we also have Florida State saying, hey, we're going to go soon if you guys don't give us more money. And the Pac-12's demise, while it has been in the cards, on the horizon, and now really close to reality, it's not surprising, but it's still disappointing. And there's plenty of blame to go around. You can blame the schools for making bad decisions. You can make the group as a whole blame them for not running alongside, not picking up the speed, not being able to counter the power plays of the SEC and the Big Ten and now the Big 12, that they left their defenses down, made themselves susceptible to this. But I, for me, continue to go back to the people that have been in charge of the Pac-12, specifically their previous commissioner, Larry Scott, who, hindsight's always 20/20, but who could not have done a worse job, it appears, had he actually tried to sabotage the league. And specifically, the Pac-12 network existed for a really long time. You might not have known that, because if you didn't live in Pac-12 country, it was really hard to find it. Other conferences had a network. I know where they all are. I know where the Longhorn network is. I know where the ACC network is. I've got the multiple versions of the Big Ten network on my cable package. But the Pac-12 network was basically invisible. I mentioned my buddy Mike Yam yesterday on the show. Would love to watch Mike do his thing on TV on the Pac-12 network. He was the face of that network for, I think, almost a decade. And maybe I saw 9 total minutes of Mike's work over all those years, because they created a network that then nobody wanted to put on their cable packages. So it basically existed in relative obscurity. There's a great quote that Stuart Mandel shared on Twitter yesterday, and Stuart's a longtime writer at The Athletic now. He quote tweeted this, and it came from Washington Senator, State Senator. And why would I be able to find it now? But I'm paying attention. Mark Schessler, whatever his name is pronounced, he told reporters yesterday, that one loser they hired is coming back to haunt our state and the entire West Coast. That's an all-time quote, and it's about Larry Scott. That one loser they hired is coming back to haunt our state and the entire West Coast. Larry Scott's got some friends in this. He is not the lone person to blame, but he's the main person to blame from where I sit. And where we all sit right now on this Friday morning, August 4th, August 5th, August 4th, the Pac-12 is dying. There's barely a beep on its machines, in its hotel, in its hospital bed, checking its heartbeat. And the best that they could come up with, the current commissioner, George Kliavkov, the only thing he could come up with was a deal with Apple that maybe if people signed up a bunch for Apple TV, they'd come close to sniffing the money that the other conferences get year in and year out from their TV partners. That was a joke. Precede or following multiple jokes, put them all together, and nobody out west is laughing. But it's hilarious in the Big 12 and the Big 10 as they just keep easily poaching these schools. And don't forget, the Pac-12 is losing all these marquee names and they're not even getting paid for it. Because the TV deal's expiring, no exit fee for Colorado, no exit fee for Arizona, no exit fee for Oregon or Washington if they leave for the Big 10, no exit fee for anybody. They're not even cashing in on any of this. It's a complete and utter failure on so many levels, and I still can't believe that it's happening and that it's almost done. That soon the Pac-12 is going to be either gone altogether or an embarrassing shell of itself that will become an afterthought in major college athletics. There's much more to do on this front. I haven't even talked about the Big Ten moves yesterday and what that means and what could happen there with Washington and Oregon. The Big 12, again, trying to add even more. Maybe they come east and pick UConn if they have to, but it feels like maybe they don't have to now since they're taking at least two, if not four, Pac-12 schools to round out their league.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Did a little heat check on Pete. Made sure he's paying attention. Bill and I didn't come back on time.
I was ready for a killer toss with this first clip.
You want to take it? Go ahead.
Sure. Justin Verlander on why the Mets stink.
If I was on a long-term deal, you know, I've heard some of the comments like Francisco was making about, you know, being committed to winning. You know, if the vision super short-term wasn't, we're going to try to win a championship, and not that they're not trying to win, but not going to take the same tactic next year, then, yeah, I would like the opportunity to go to a team that was going to fight for a championship. I think you get the gist of how the conversation went. It went very similar to Max's conversation, just the vision of how the rest of this year was going and next season had shifted a bit. I think, you know, they're more focused on a couple of years, you know, 25, 26. And, you know, would be great to hear if I was a Met for longer term.
So Verlander echoing there some of the things that Max Scherzer said after arriving to the Texas Rangers. And Scherzer, by the way, pitched yesterday. Pitched well, especially in the back half of his start. Everyone's freaking out about that. I'll remind you that it was against the White Sox, who were terrible. Get back when he pitches against the Astros or the Rays or a good team in the American League. So Verlander there says a lot of the same things that Scherzer told us earlier in the week. But there were other parts of Verlander's comments yesterday that I thought were more significant and more in line with the way you should be talking post that situation about it's a great organization. I'd recommend going there. They treated us all well. Because they understand their view in all of this, that they're 39, 40, 41. They don't have time to sit around. So I get why they would want to be out. But I also think that people are overreacting to what the Mets are going to do this winter. They're not going to be a bad team next year. Fingers crossed. They're a bad team right now. I assume they're going to be better. I assume they are going to compete for at least one of the three wild cards next year without going nuts and writing $80 million checks to aging starting pitching. They're going to be smart. Unfortunately, it sounds like Shohei Ohtani is not in their plans. I think it feels like they know that Ohtani doesn't want to come to the East Coast. Maybe not specifically to the Mets, but doesn't want to leave California or the Pacific time zone. And they're not even bothering with that. But if somehow they find out that Ohtani wants to play for them, Steve Cohen's going to sign Shohei Ohtani. That's the one exception to all of these things. But otherwise, sure, they've got their sights really on 2025. But the idea that the Mets are going to be terrible and tank for next year is an overreaction to what everybody has been saying about their situation. enough about sports. How about marriage? How about marital advice? I'm married for going on 16 plus years now. Pete's got a second marriage. This is the one that's going to stick. DA's had two weddings with the same woman. Sean, our good old friend, he's married.
Who?
Carlos with an e-bike who's here today. He's married. Then we've got Patty B, and we've got Emmanuel, young men playing the field, looking for love, looking, well, at least Emmanuel, I assume, is looking for a partner. We know what Boyle's goals are, but everybody could need some relationship advice. Do you get it, though, from adult film star Mia Khalifa?
Oh, we're comparing stats. Baby girl doesn't know that I am Tom Brady at this game. Married at 18, divorced at 21. Second marriage, married at 25, divorced at 28. Third engagement, engaged at 29, ended it at 30, but I kept the ring. I'm still keeping Tom Brady on his toes. We should not be afraid to leave these men. We are not stuck with these people. Marriage is not a sanctimonious thing. It is paperwork. It's a commitment you make to someone. But if you feel like you're not getting anything from that commitment and you're trying, you gotta go. You gotta go. You have to go. I know it's difficult to fill out paperwork and to make appointments and to do all of these things, but this is your life. Do you want to be stuck with someone? Period.
So the headline is the marital advice, and it's good advice. You absolutely should not stay in a bad relationship, whatever it is. Because as Mia wisely points out, we only have X amount of years on this earth. So don't waste time doing something that's not good for you. But we got to go back to the middle of that clip. What's the Tom Brady reference there, Doyle?
That she, I guess, is the GOAT of porn.
Okay.
Or that she's had so many marriages. It's like how many Super Bowls Tom Brady has won. So she knows what marriage is like.
Okay, not that she's after Brady or has been in any way romantically connected to Brady. There's nothing like that.
There might have been a, you know, couple of drops of salt dropped over there. See if Brady wants to scoop them up.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think that was the main point of the message. I think it was more so about what she's accomplished and the amount of marriages she's had.
Okay. Now I'll ask Pete this question.
Hi.
This is the first time I've heard Mia Khalifa's name in a while. At one point, she was like the number one adult film star. There were songs about her. She was infamous. Is she still an active actor at the moment?
Why are you asking me that?
I don't know. I thought that was funny.
I had no idea. I thought I was a singer at the first.
I'll tell you this right off the top. I don't see too much of her anymore.
Okay. All right.
She might be in the Hall of Fame then.
You know, oddly enough, there's a term I could have used just there that we did use for a segment, I think, next hour, right? I mean, next segment. No, next hour. Next hour. It's really, really pushing the envelope. All right, that's Mia Khalifa. It's good to hear from her.
Well, hold on now.
Oh, wait a minute.
She's absolutely right.
To get out of bad relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
And also, if you, man or woman, and if you're the breadwinner and you don't feel like you're being respected, you don't feel like you're being treated right, especially if there wasn't no prenup signed.
Right.
You can get out, and you can get out nice and easy. So why the hell not?
Yeah, I mean,
half of people get divorced anyway now, Bogues.
Right.
Pete's a statistic. The first marriage, he's one of them.
But it's not nice and easy, which is part of the problem.
Well, true.
Lawyers
gotta
fight
get involved. If you have kids, it gets very messy. I understand.
Technically, it's an annulment, but
if you don't have kids, I feel like it makes it 80% easier. Especially if you also have property that you own in your name and your spouse's name is not on that property.
Yeah.
I mean, man, you know, take your money, get out, find somebody that you want to spend the rest of your life with. If you're supposed to be married to somebody you want to die with, and if that's not the case, why are you getting married? A lot of people jump into marriages. So I think she's 100% spot on, and I think the blowback, no pun intended, I think the vitriol she received, a lot of haters that says, oh, I'm taking advice from a porn star.
Right. which is the joke I made to throw into the clip in the last segment. But I'm not surprised that was the main thing. Unromantic hot take. In this day and age, there's very little reason to actually get married. If you want the party, great. But, you know, in the 40s and the 50s, when you needed to get married to, like, live with the other sex and have marital relations, if that was then that's why you got married. But, like, now, because people were living together beforehand and doing whatever beforehand, marriage just becomes paperwork that then is harder to get out of if you need to. So there's a very strong argument that we just don't need to get actually married anymore. Make commitments, have relationships, all that stuff. But the actual practice of, you know, changing your last name, signing paperwork, standing in front of a judge or a priest or a rabbi, it's lost a lot of its necessity.
I do think the blowback was cruel, was unnecessary. A lot of haters out there. I did find one tweet that I saw very funny.
Okay.
Somebody said, taking marriage advice from Mia Khalifa. What's next? Driving lessons with Stevie Wonder?
Moving on.
Pete liked it.
Of course he did. Now, Stevie Wonder has a deep connection to this time slot. Not this show, but this time slot. The well-regarded Gio and Jones show, and Gio being Greg Giannotti, who's down the hallway right now. Greg is a strong, at least I think, I haven't asked him recently, he's a strong believer in the Stevie Wonder conspiracy theories that Stevie's actually not blind. And Greg's got his number one proof. There's a video of Stevie standing at a microphone performing, and the microphone starts to tip over. I think he actually might have bumped into it, and he catches it. It's starting to fall, and he reaches out and grabs it and straightens it. How can you do that if you don't have eyesight, if you don't have vision?
Well, I'm sure his hearing has...
No, he's on stage in a concert performing.
Okay. Also, his movement, if he knocks into the microphone and he knocks into it, the left side
grabs
of it, it just reflexively puts his hand out. If he missed it, he would have missed it. Maybe it was just a nice catch.
That's a rabbit hole you can spend a lot of time in. Is Stevie Wonder actually blind? A lot of people have a lot of thoughts on this.
I don't buy that at all. I don't think. Why? Why would
get
you
back
do that
to me on Monday?
Why would you burden yourself in public for your entire life?
I don't know. There was very little football to discuss from the Hall of Fame game last night, but there are things like a surprise national anthem performance from DeMarcus Ware, who is a Hall of Famer as of last year, or is he going in this year? I'm confused by his Hall of Fame timeline.
Might have been last year,
right? Because it's not this year.
Yeah.
He sang the national anthem last night in Canton. It sounded okay to my very novice ear. We're going to play that for you, but then we realized that's not the best anthem of last night, not the biggest news-making anthem of last night. There was an official response to DeMarcus Ware's performance on these very airways a little more than 5 hours ago from the one and only David Shepard.
Can you sing the national anthem? You ever sang it before?
I mean, I can sing a little bit.
Oh, okay. I'm not asking you to. Please don't.
Okay, I got really excited for a second.
No, you're gonna sing the nat. You want to?
Well, I mean, I could give you.
You need some water? You sure you want to do this?
Yeah, like.
Uh oh, he stepped away from the mic for a minute. Go ahead, prepare.
Yeah. Just hold on. I want to make sure. Okay. So.
Okay.
You really
okay.
Want to hear it?
All yeah, right. Yeah. If you want to, yeah, don't yell at me later, but go
in
ahead.
In the spirit of Demaryius Thomas. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light.
Okay, no more.
That wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
Thank you.
You're right. It wasn't that bad.
Thank you. Can I give you one more and then I'm done?
One more what?
Just lyric. Because I haven't warmed up yet, so
what?
I feel like
what
I'm
part
up
were
now.
You up to? We didn't even get to the bombs bursting in the air.
No. What so proudly we hail?
It's not good.
Oh, that wasn't that bad, JR. Come on.
Keep going. Finish. Okay. Go ahead. Get it out.
Last one, I promise.
Okay.
At the twilight's last gleaming.
Okay, now you're doing too much.
I thought it was good.
No, it wasn't.
Got yeah. A ticket for a runaway train.
It wasn't good. I'm glad that JR let it breathe a little bit more. As I should have mentioned beforehand, we listened to that live with you just now. Carlos with a K would not edit that sound in front of us in the newsroom so we could listen to it and have a live reaction. It was terrible. I was prepared, though, for Shep to be surprisingly good at singing.
I either thought he was going to be surprisingly good or I thought it was going to be horrendous. That was like somewhere in the middle.
It was definitely closer to horrendous.
I've heard a lot worse singing. I've heard Sean sing many, many times.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, say, can you see?
Like, that's not a bad opener.
It gets bad just there.
By the dawn's early light.
Okay, no more.
Yeah, that's enough.
I mean, he's got no punch with his voice. He's got no power. He's got no drive through with that voice. But it does sound kind of sweet and melodic a little bit.
It's not. It could be worse. It is probably better than I would do. But I'm like weirdly disappointed. I thought Shep was going to drop the hammer on us and unleash this beautiful, soulful. You know, when DA does his Shep impersonation, he does sound like part jazz singer.
Yeah, like he's from New Orleans.
Right.
New Orleans.
So maybe that's what's messing with my head. I was expecting him to sound singing like that too. And that's not what we got.
No, if Shep actually was good at singing, we definitely would have heard it by now.
Dawn's
or at least I would hope.
Early light.
Okay. Yeah, that light.
Light.
Okay, no more. No
more. No more. No more. Please, shut up.
Let me correct myself. DeMarcus Ware is going into the Hall of Fame this year as well. That makes sense. Why else would he be singing this Hall of Fame game? But what threw me off was I would have pegged him as the best of the group who normally speaks last, but he's not speaking last on Saturday. Joe Thomas is. So congrats to DeMarcus Ware and Rondé and Joe Thomas and Revis and Klecko and Don Coryell. Is he the last name on the list that's all going in?
Speaking of which, folks, it was incredible for me to see Joe Thomas, guy that was 300-pound hog molly, and now he's like skinny. And on the flip side,
I know where you're going.
Revis, what happened? Woof.
I saw a tweet yesterday that said there must be a lot of restaurants on Revis Island.
Because I know who wrote that, too. Pretty good.
Because there's a lot of Darrell now. He's on his way to being a nose tackle.
Yeah. And he didn't care. I mean, he had the pole. Like, if you know you're not looking great, you go blazer and like a half button-up. Like the shirt I got on now, nice flowy button-up with a blazer. Hide that belly. He had a tight-fitting polo on. The movies were out. You could see the belly button suction cup imprint through the polo. That's when you know it's bad. And he doesn't give a damn. And I mean, I guess he really should. He's a Hall of Fame football player. He made millions of dollars, but still.
The not giving the damn is the issue for me. Now, I guess on one hand, if he doesn't care about like body issues, if he doesn't care how he looks in a pseudo-healthy way, that's great. If he's not like obsessing about things, he doesn't need to be super thin. I don't think that he's necessarily like in a danger zone weight-wise. But then he also is Darrell Revis. The ability to have every single piece of clothing he wears perfectly tailored to him. Like, all his clothes should fit him correctly, no matter what size he is. And that just like wasn't the right size polo for him yesterday.
Well, hopefully that was an eye-opening experience for him.
I don't think so.
If he has a shred of personal pride left, hopefully somebody texted him and said, hey, buddy, you need to get your bleep together here.
Yeah.
Because you look horrible.
I also might have been reading too much into this, but they interviewed him one-on-one during the game, and I felt like the shot was tighter to him than to the other guys, as if NBC was doing him a solid and not showing him from, like, nipples down. It was just the top third of him. And basically.
The upper third. Give me an upper third only on Revis.
One last national anthem nugget. When I was at Fenway a couple weekends ago, they have the words, the lyrics of the song going on the screen as whoever is singing it. And when it gets to the very last line, it said, home of the brave, ? Home of the brave?
Oh.
And I didn't see it first. I heard somebody in front of me point it out. Then I looked, I laughed, I showed my family, and I went to get my phone to grab a picture of it, and it went gone. But it, home of the brave? It's a weird mistake to make.
By the way, have you ever experienced a flyover? Any of you guys?
Yeah.
Emmanuel's waving his hands. I think the mic works, Emmanuel.
I didn't feel I needed to speak, but I've experienced one.
Is that it?
Paul, is there a follow-up?
I didn't know if Pete had.
I have, yes.
Yeah, so you have. You're the only one that hasn't.
No, I definitely have. I've definitely been at a game where a jet has gone scorching over the top of it.
I only experienced my first at a soccer game in San Diego last week, so I'm not a big, like, you know, USA, USA kind of guy. But that gets you going, man. That riles you up. You see a jet flying over right at the end, that hit the high note, everybody starts going nuts. Blood starts to pump. I was like, all right, let's go.
But if you don't know it's coming, it can be startling.
Oh, yes.
When all of a sudden it's just like, boom, across the top of your head. I've had that experience, too. We're like, yeah, this is great, fireworks, whatever, but then those bad boys come flying by, and you don't know what's coming. It's scary.
Easy way to unrile you up is if they question if you're brave or not.
Yeah, that, too.
Home of the brave?
Just checking. Raise your hand if you're brave here, guys.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, boy. I don't know how to present this, so we're just going to play the audio without any context. If you guys are ready to play it, again, this is Boyle's favorite segment ever. It's being labeled, as far as I know, Spank Bank on WatchDA.com and YouTube and Twitch. Why, you say? Well, take a listen and see if you can figure it out.
Hi, Roxana. Splash that. Bam! All right, Alexandra Iuhase focusează către partea aceea care trebuie să o domine. Oh la la, te invidiez. Alexandra, that's what's up. Alexandra a ales să dea cu palmele de sus în jos. Are o zonă ea care îi se pare că îi va determina câștigul. Ok. Să se audă splash-ul mai tare, te rog, Mr. DJ, muzica mai încet. Am o rugăminte din partea lui Sandu. Mulțumesc. Haide, Roxana, hai să vedem. Hai! Ia uite că a sărit scântei. A sărit? A sărit.
All right, so you guys all speak French, right?
I knew what they were saying.
The video is far more startling and explanatory. We've, I think, discussed on this show the burgeoning sport of extreme slap fighting, where you just take turns slapping somebody across the face, because that's a really great career goal. Let's go next level. Why would we not? What you just heard was professional extreme butt slapping. And the video sent to me by Pat Boyle, I was running some errands yesterday and was talking to somebody at the counter of the store I was in, and my watch lit up with a text from Boyle, and it was the screen grab of this video, which is a lady in a bikini with a very rotund backside, bent over. So that was a really awkward moment.
Butt getting big.
And I don't know what to say. I have a lot of questions about this.
Pump.
Thinks it's the greatest thing ever, so you feel free here to defend, to promote.
Yeah, I mean, what isn't there to say? This is the greatest sport ever, folks.
Is it, though?
We've been waiting. This is a generational...
I have not been waiting for this.
This is a generational, life-changing sport that, honestly, I think... I'm trying to read up on articles. I'm trying to dig deep. It's not as...
Are you?
It's not as well, you know, spread out as much as I thought it would be. No pun intended.
Yeah, or intended.
Apparently, this started in Romania in, like, 2019. It became popular. There's something going on in Russia, and now
that
I'm
tracks.
Seeing the video I sent you. In the background, it says Las Vegas. It looks like the arena where they have, like, the small UFC events, where they're just, like, and especially during COVID, where it looks like there's, like, barely anybody in there. It's just the octagon and, like, a little bit of space. It says Las Vegas right in the background.
But the MC was definitely speaking French, right? I heard an ooh-la-la in there.
I don't know if that was Romanian.
Je ne sais quoi.
I don't know what language it was. I'm not going to try to decipher it. But, I mean, this is... How do you not love this, man? How do you not love this?
There's a number of reasons. One of them is it just feels wrong to watch women bend over and wait to get slapped by another woman. I know a lot of you might be salivating at that sentence, but
pump.
I did not like this on first glance.
Folks,
I gotta be honest.
This is America. You gotta let the people choose what they want to watch. It's freedom of to love whatever you want to love.
Yeah.
And look, they're putting it on for our pleasure, our excitement. At their pain, at their cost, and the winner is determined by the loudest and most satisfying slap. I mean, you watch this video. This one chick is, her cheeks are beet red. It's to the point where, like, you slap something hard enough, you see, like, the little blood vessels on the surface of the skin.
Yeah. No, I know
a lot of girls personally that would like this.
I'm sure you do. I believe they were calling the other day and you wouldn't pick up because they were being annoying.
Are they at your home now?
And obviously these girls are there on their own choice. I'm not saying it should be shut down. I'm just assuming it's not going to make updates when I'm doing updates moving forward.
What are we doing? Really? What are we doing? We on ESPN The Ocho just now, they were showing... A game of tag.
Yeah, big three-day marathon for them, I think.
Oh, enough. Give me a break. Baseball, basketball, football, hockey, soccer. Let's play real sports. Enough.
It doesn't have to be a sport. It's a competition, and it's, you know, it's a
but
little
what
something.
Is actually, I actually don't know what the end game is, pun intended. Do you ask out? How do you win this?
No, I guess you could tap out, and that way you would lose, you'd forfeit. But no, like I said, the winner is determined by the loudest and most satisfying spank.
So we're doing decibel levels.
Correct. Or just the eye test.
Yeah. So we're doomed. Enjoy the
other way.
I want to invest. That all my savings, my next paycheck, investing.
You're the Jim Irsay of professional butt slapping. Congratulations.
Sports.
People asked yesterday, more than one person tweeted back, it's been too long, where's Pete versus? Everybody loves it. Can't deny that love, Pete, so take it away.
Well, if you
Pete need, versus.
If you need it, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for you if you need
no.
it. But I'm going to take a shot at the way sports has become so hot and cold. I miss the days where you ran a team and you ran it with a balance, with a little bit of, development, player development on your own, and free agency. And this is across most of our major sports right now, because I can't stand these radical shifts. And the team from Queens proved that this week, the New York Mets, with how they handled what happened with Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer. And instead of going to a complete... to a retool, they went to a complete rebuild. I miss the days where you did a retool. You didn't have to tear the whole thing down in a week. I mean, and the player I blame, and Bogus will always criticize me for it, but the player I blame is LeBron James because he introduced the super teams. And now you have to either have a super team or you got to tear it all down and redo the whole thing through the draft. So I blame LeBron James in that regard. And I miss the days when we were able to have a balance in these organizations where you didn't have to go crazy in free agency or you didn't have to tear the whole thing down. There's as I said before, you're there for the customers, and when you tear down an organization and you make it very public, you're making fans resist, and you can't do that. So that's what I'm fighting against today.
So that's Pete versus LeBron and the decision in 2023.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
We can start there.
I'll allow it.
But it's multiple layers. You got to peel the orange, so to speak.
The onion, I think, is the...
Or orange.
You can peel an orange.
You can peel an orange, but I think the point of you peel an onion, there's just layer after layer after layer.
Orange is layers.
There's one. There's the skin, then you got orange.
But then you peel the orange. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, the onion. The onion, you're right. You're right, my bad.
you peel the skin, you got the orange.
I love you. And you know what? Like, that should be daily.
Yeah.
I completely disagree with you, but it makes me smile.
How do you disagree? He did that whole thing with the Heat. Him and Pat Riley with the rings, and they built the super team. Now everybody has to build a super team. How come we can't build a balanced team anymore? It has to be, all through the draft or all through free agency. Where is the balance?
I hear you. And this reminded me of you very strongly being anti-tanking. I think pre-NBA draft.
It's the worst.
Right.
You can't... Fans,
you were hot that day.
Yeah, because fans pay money in season tickets to come and see you guys play. And to say to them, hey, we're going to give up on a season, or this guy's not going to play because of load management, is a bunch of crap. So I'm sorry. I'm in the minority on that. That's the way everything is now.
A me impersonation.
Right. Everything. we got to tank. We got to tank for the number one pick. Nonsense. There should be a different way to do it.
The Spurs got Victor Wembanyama. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, let's see him play. And, of course, you see, the thing I hate about it the most is Popovich. Popovich should have probably called it a career by now. And he has a 5-year extension because he tanked.
He's going to be 80
yes.
when that thing's over.
Right.
80. So, I'm Wembanyama or not, at 75, I don't want to be working anymore.
If anyone's watched the Spurs... They all know that it's probably time for Popovich to move on. But he had the gift because they decided to be terrible, and they got a 5-year reprieve and some extra money.
I think we just got ourselves a double Pete versus. It began with LeBron, and then it flipped to Popovich on the way out.
And it was really based on my team, the Mets.
Yeah, that too. So that was Pete versus Steve Cohen, decade-old LeBron, and elder abuse in Popovich.
Not elder abuse. He could be 40. I mean, the guy was there for 500 years. I mean, and he's had a great career.
Only Jody remembers the Spurs not coached by Greg Popovich.
Right, I don't even know who the coach was. Were they even a team before Popovich?
he founded the organization. James Naismith was the Spurs
That's
head
right.
coach.
That's right, I know him.
I love you so much. You are a treasure.
I'm right. Thank you.
I wouldn't go that far.
He agrees.
Who does? Emmanuel?
Yeah, he agrees.
I'm loving the passion.
See?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Loves the passion.
He agrees.
Hates the point, but loves the passion.
He agrees.
I do agree to a certain extent.
Come on, Emmanuel.
Pete, I also love you. I do not agree.
Of course you don't agree.
No tanking?
Such a zoomer.
Yeah.
Stop calling me a zoomer.
What are you?
No. I can't believe. That's the meanest thing I could say to you these days.
What are you, a beta tape? What is it called? Beta? Beta? Alpha? Beta?
Are you actually a Zoomer?
No, he's not. That's why he gets so offended.
Oh,
what's
gotcha.
A Zoomer?
What is a Zoomer?
Gen Z.
Me, right?
No. No.
No, it's the one with your Gen Z beneath me.
That's another thing.
Are you Gen Z, Emmanuel? Are you a Zoomer?
I think I'm a millennial, right?
When's the millennial cutoff? 98?
98. So you have to be born before or at 1998 to be outside
God.
The millennial sphere.
Are you asking me or are you telling
that
me?
Far ago?
I'm asking the question.
Gen Z. It says a 2022 report, U.S. Census designates Gen Z as the youngest generation with adult members born 97 to 2013. So, Emmanuel, you are?
I'm Gen Z.
A Zoomer.
I'm a Zoomer. I thought I was a millennial.
What are we then?
How did you not know this entire time?
Doomed.
Because I'm not up on these.
I believe you guys
phases.
Are both Gen
X. Because they're stupid. I mean, come on.
They are stupid.
I'm also stunned to a news. That's an official U.S. Census designation?
Correct.
That's
Gen
what
X,
we're doing.
Gen X is born between 65 and 80, 1965 and 1980.
Oh, just get in.
A whole lot of other problems, and we're worried about this.
All these are constructs. They're just
dumb. Right, not science.
Who decides this?
The typical Zoomer question.
That's right. Probably Marash.
Stunned to a news headlines. Here's the Zoomer, Emmanuel.
In Canton, the first taste of preseason football. Browns over the Jets, 21-16. Aaron Rodgers, not a Zoomer, of course, didn't play for the Jets, but he's still taking the spotlight.
Yeah, man, I'm loving my time here. I mean, I've just embraced everything New York and had some great opportunities at MSG and concerts, Taylor Swift and Ed Sheeran and plays, and there's a lot of stuff to do. I'm enjoying it.
You're the mayor, man. You're the mayor of New York.
Courtesy of NBC, and looking forward to the season. What a guy. He's a renaissance man. Concerts, football, everything. Rodgers' new top weapon is Garrett Wilson. Didn't stop short of pretty high praise.
I mean, Garrett is just what an amazing kid. You know, I have so much love and respect for Devontae and feel like he's the best receiver in the league. So I don't say this lightly, but there are definitely traits that this 17 has that special 17 has as well.
So comparing his new top weapon to an old top weapon.
I mean, I guess there are some who would wonder why he didn't help Devontae Adams out by leaving $35 million on the table in Green Bay, but
right.
At least he's saying nice things now.
That's not part of the narrative.
It's not. Moving
gotta build
he's
that
a great
narrative.
Guy. Leave him alone.
Thank you. That's Pete's quarterback. Be
That's
careful.
That's my quarterback. That's what I wanted. I wanted a quarterback and a new coach.
And you got a quarterback. Yeah, you didn't get the new coach.
Bad at 500.
We'll see about the coach after this year. While he was on the sideline, Rodgers was assisting his friend offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. He even helped Zach Wilson's highlight throw of the night, a 57-yarder to Malik Taylor, apparently called by Aaron Rodgers.
I'm very grateful for him and you know, he helps me more than he needs to, so I'm very grateful.
So Zach Wilson taking well to his new role as Rodgers' backup. Baseball, what a win for the Mariners. Rookie Cade Marlowe in his 12th game. Go-ahead ninth inning grand slam off Angels closer Carlos Estevez on the road in Anaheim. Mariners stunned the Angels 5-3.
Just shorten up. Like I said, just trying to put something in play and hopefully score Cavi, and it worked out.
Courtesy of Root Sports, Marlowe spoiled another Shohei Ohtani show. Ohtani had to leave after four innings on the mound, cramping in his right middle finger. But Ohtani did hit a round number, 40 homers on the season in the loss. Yankees 4, Astros 3, Anthony Volpe 2 out, RBI single in the 6th inning. Difference in the game. Before the game, Justin Verlander didn't have to sell his New York apartment just yet. He could stay in New York to join the Astros for their series with the Yankees. After a short stint with the Mets, Verlander back with the team. He's won 2 World Series and 2 Cy Youngs with.
I feel like I was just really starting to get settled in the city and my apartment, and my family was really getting used to things here. You know, you start building a life off the field. You know, you try to build a life in the city that you're in, and you start getting comfortable and you make friends. And so that part is really difficult. It's a lot on the family.
He was starting to get comfortable, Pete.
Yeah, thanks, Mets.
You know, the most frustrating part of that is now we lose Cade Upton, too.
Right. He did talk about Cade Upton, by the way. With that in mind, Verlander, you know, he's a man now. He's 40. It's still winning time for him and Cade Upton.
When I sit down and talk with my wife about things, that's, you know, that's why we're here. And you know, play this game to win and win championships.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
He's 40. He's got to win.
Yeah, thanks, Steve Cohen. Now we lost that.
So Justin Verlander, Cade Upton are back to Houston, at least after this series in New York. Yeah, but Verlander's going to start against
ring,
the Yankees.
And they'll win a ring. It'll be right in our face, and the Mets will be paying $50 million of it.
I have no such feelings for Verlander. Go do whatever. It will not bother me. If Scherzer goes to Texas and starts mowing down good teams in big spots, that dude's dead to me.
Well, that's the thing. Verlander is still good.
Yeah.
So if Scherzer does it, it would bother you because he wasn't good.
Correct.
And then he would become good again.
Absolutely.
Verlander was good before the trade.
Yeah. I've got no ill will towards Verlander, but I don't need a good Scherzer all of a sudden.
See, I have no confidence in Scherzer's stuff anymore to think that they will do it. Verlander, as we said, I think he still has the stuff, and I would have kept him. The thing that would bother me is that him winning another ring knowing what has happened and how much the paycheck is being paid by the Mets.
Yeah. It's not my money. It's not your money.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
He's going to get it in anyway.
It's totally ridiculous. Don't get me started.
Hey, Pete versus is over.
All right.
Pretty predictable. He will dominate. Cubs top the Reds 5-3. 3 out of 4 for Chicago. Now only a couple of games out of first place in the NL Central. Giants shut out the Diamondbacks 1-0. Brewers obliterated the Pirates 14-1. Twins edged the Cardinals 5-3. Dodgers pounded the A's 8-2. WNBA Mercury star Diana Taurasi, another milestone, first in WNBA history to 10,000 career points, and she did it with her best scoring effort since 2010, 42 points in a win over the Dream. It's time to get stunned, I believe.
Yes.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So a woman escaped from a makeshift, quote unquote, dungeon made of cinder blocks in a man's Oregon home. And now the FBI says it's searching for additional victims in other states. So the guy who's making all this happen, Negasi Zuberi, he was taken into federal custody with the idea that he kidnapped across state lines. This is a woman from Seattle, escaped from his home and the cinder-blocked dungeon in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Zuberi, who's the assailant, has lived in at least 10 states since 2016. He's been linked to violent assault in at least 4 states. And Zuberi traveled from his home in Klamath Falls to Seattle, posed as an undercover police officer, then allegedly pointed a taser at the victim, placed her in handcuffs and leg irons, then put her in the backseat of the car. Zuberi told the victim she was under arrest, posing as a police officer, then drove back to his Klamath Falls home more than 450 miles away, stopping on the way to, of course, assault her. And the woman did realize, with the GPS saying 2 hours and 5 minutes to go in the drive, this was not a police officer. This was a kidnap attempt. So then, once they got back, after a certain amount of time, cinder blocked in the dungeon, the woman escaped out of the dungeon now, but the idea now to figure out who else Zuberi has harmed.
So, well, that was uplifting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very appropriate music for this story.
Where do we want to begin, guys?
I think just we highlight the heroics of her actions, of escaping from a cinder block prison cell that
correct.
He owned. How did she do that? Did she learn, like, what was it, the five-finger death punch, Kill Bill? Just to, boom, blow through those cinder blocks?
And I never say how the person gets out, so that's pretty heroic.
How about, so when she gets out, she flags down somebody driving by to call 911.
Right.
If you're just driving down the highway and there's a person in visible distress, are you actually stopping? Like, is your first thing, like, I don't want, like, whatever's going on, I don't want, like, I...
If somebody's waving me down on the highway...
You're slowing down?
No, blowing right through them.
Right? I mean, like, I...
I've seen too many movies, I've heard too many stories.
Right.
Last thing I need is for me to open the door, hey, what's up? Pull a gun. Get out of the car.
Exactly.
No, thanks, sorry.
Roll the window down, they're reaching in the car for something.
If you want help, it's on you, buddy. Go figure it out, go run down, run to the nearest... anything,
yes.
Civilization, and seek help. I'm not pulling over for you on the side of the
highway. That's a good Samaritan to pull over.
Yeah, especially if my kid's in the car, we're not stopping. But what I will do is I'll call 911 and I'll say there's a guy, there's a lady who needs help here. But I don't know that I'm the one that's going to stop because I'm afraid of all the things that Boyle just mentioned. Am I being tricked? Like I don't. Is there somebody chasing this person that's now going to come get me because of this? Like, that's, I don't know, man. I don't know that I would want to help, but I don't know if my first instinct is to stop and unlock my car door.
It's every man for themselves. I am not pulling over for you if you are in distress.
Yeah, that's... So this lady's out. She's okay, but we don't know who else might be in there.
Yeah, I would think...
Or where the house is, actually.
Since this Negasi Zuberi has assaulted people... In what, 4 different states over the years? I would think there are others out there. This isn't a one-off.
Right.
But I think the greater thing here is, in this instance, there was cinder-blocked dungeon involved. And this woman somehow got out.
Yeah.
That's the real stun to a noose. How did she...
How did she get out?
How did she escape this?
How did she? Yeah. Zubiri, I mean, he has all these things up his sleeve. But the woman finding a way to break this concoction, I think, is what should be heralded. Yeah. But we don't know how. Now, that's the issue.
And the bigger picture, you weren't here all this week. Our previous stunt to a news this week involved manatee orgies and possibly fake bears in a Chinese zoo. Those are more along the lines of stories that we're looking for and stunned, not just a mass sexual assaulter.
Yeah, Emmanuel, who gave you that story, huh?
And I'm the guy that usually every once in a while drops the doom and gloom
hammer. I'm not going to point fingers, Pat.
But this one was a doozy.
I gave him the story.
Of course you did.
I didn't think he'd actually use it.
A little bit of a that's a sabotage
right there. Yeah.
That took a turn. Still recovering from stun to a news. Let me lighten the mood. I'm very proud of the shirt I'm wearing today. I'm not sure if you guys noticed it yet on the different feeds, but I'm kind of stretched so you can see it better now for whichever camera is on me. The Bismarck Larks of the Northwest League, which I believe is where the Northwoods Leagues, that's where Boyle as a college player played one summer. But for a game this year, they rebranded as the Missouri River Motorboaters. It's a nautical reference, but it's also a double entendre, and I love those. So I saw this online, bought it. It took a while to get from Bismarck to Long Island, but now I got it, and here it is today. This is my new favorite shirt.
That's exceptional. I didn't even realize that.
The Missouri River Motorboaters.
A lot of sex on today's show.
There's a lot. And this is, this one's clever. Everybody knows what it means.
That's phenomenal.
But there's a little motorboat kind of guy. He's like a little engine.
I can search Bismarck Larks Motorboaters and buy that shirt.
Not only this shirt, they've got a whole line of merch that's just based on their one-day existence as the Missouri River Motorboaters.
Wow. I mean, phenomenal.
That's how you do it in Bismarck, in the Northwoods League. You don't cut corners when Boyle's playing for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a Friday fiesta. Here's what our listeners in the Target demo are up to.
And what a Target Demo Friday meme it was. Me, D.A., Boyle, Bilotti, and Schwartz as old school St. Louis Cardinal players with a young Jody Mack umpiring our game. Moist Pork, happy Friday on Twitch in Baltimore. Can you imagine Jody on the Oregon Trail with Captain Jack? Wow, Jody, that cough's getting a bit out of control. Time for you to get off the wagon. Hashtag dysentery.
Oh, you're in the black hole?
Dixieland Dan down in Redneck Land on Twitch Gang. The next place we should send Jody is back to Sparta. Imagine Jody standing next to Leonidas screaming, "This is Sparta." He was there when Mary and Joseph ate that apple. That's not the story. Probably in Egypt hitting on Cleopatra. Hashtag butt slap Boyle.
And the only reason they're going to Nevada is because of the smoking laws. I guess they'll end up gambling up there.
Ostrich Eyes tweeting, "Happy Friday from the antiquarian's paradise of Hot Springs, Arkansas." Watching on Twitch. "Would love to see Jody Mack as a gangster in the 20s. You'll never catch me, Coppa. See? Hashtag Target Demo Friday."
So good. He's the best.
One more Pete says. Pat Young, at Hansy63, "Good morning, lads. How fare you? Methinks I will watch this newfangled game baseball on the morrow from Boise whilst observing on Twitch. I must go feed the horses. Hashtag I was safe, Jody."
DA, do you like gummy bears?
Put it epic, on her ass.
Epic fail time, Pete. Epic fail. Emmanuel truly stunning all of us with a news.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
So a woman escaped from a makeshift, quote-unquote, dungeon made of cinder blocks in a man's Oregon home, and now the FBI says it's searching for additional victims in other states.
Get a load of this!
Zubery, who's the assailant, has lived in at least 10 states since 2016. He's been linked to violent assault in at least 4 states, and Zubery traveled from his home in Klamath Falls to Seattle, posed as an undercover police officer, then allegedly pointed a taser at the victim, placed her in handcuffs and leg irons, then put her in the backseat of the car.
Interesting. Hello. Testing.
Zubery told the victim she was under arrest, posing as a police officer, then drove back to his Klamath Falls home more than 450 miles away, stopping on the way to, of course, assault her. And the woman did realize, with the GPS saying 2 hours and 5 minutes to go in the drive, This was not a police officer. This was a kidnap attempt.
Call your friends, folks!
Cinder blocked in the dungeon. The woman escaped. Out of the dungeon now. But the idea now to figure out who else Zubery has harmed.
So, well, that was uplifting.
Yeah.
Very appropriate music for this story.
Where do we want to begin, guys?
But I love sports. Dodgeball was the best. Oh, yeah.
Our previous stunt to a news this week involved manatee orgies and possibly fake bears in a Chinese zoo. Those are more along the lines of stories that we're looking for in stunned, not just a mass sexual assaulter.
Yeah, Emmanuel, who gave you that story, huh?
And I'm the guy that usually every once in a while drops the doom and gloom
hammer. I'm not going to point fingers, Pat.
But this one was a doozy.
I gave him the story.
Of course you did.
I didn't think he'd actually use it.
A little bit of a sabotage
right there. Yeah.
This is history.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
We were all just sitting here waiting for the funny part of the story that like this woman was tortured by CBS Sports Radio minutes playing on a loop, and it never came. Oh, have a great weekend, everybody. Huge thanks to Steelers wide receiver Deontay Johnson and to Matt LePay, the voice of Wisconsin football. For Pete, for Boyle, for Emmanuel, for Carlos with a K, I'm Andrew. The mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.